today. Thanks for joining us. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thank you for being a part of our service. So I'm going to pray in just a moment because this service is not a normal service because it's not a normal week. Would you agree? So we're going to say some truth, and some of that truth is pretty tough to hear. So I am going to respectfully ask parents, if you have a child in here, fifth grade or younger, I am going to insist, but respectfully ask you to take them out during our prayer. Go ahead and slip out and take them to our children's church. And by the way, our children's church is awesome anyways. It is awesome. It really is. So, but don't email me later and be like, I can't believe you said that my kid was in. No. I warned you, okay? So we are going to say some things, okay? God, I want to thank you, Lord, for a church that wants to hear truth. Well, I thank you for a church that stands for truth. I thank you, God, that we are in such a time that you called us to be here. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you would bless this message. Thank you, God, that we can stand for what your word says. And Lord, thank you, God, that you have called us to be in this time. And Lord, I know it's easy to be scared. It's easy to be shocked. But Lord, the truth is, Lord, you birthed us in this nation, in this time for us to be here, which means we are well equipped to be your people today, even in days like this. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word and your truth today. May you reign today in this house. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, parents. Thank you for that. So I'm going to talk today about the events that happened this week. Not just about that, but I do feel like I need to address things like that. Some people say, you know, I don't like it when preachers get political. And I just want to say to that person, if that's you today, I want you to hear my heart when I say this. I'm really not trying to be political, but the world keeps swerving into my lane, which means I have to talk about some things. Does that make sense? So it's like, you know. So we're going to talk about some things because, you know, this last week, I, like you, you know, was on my phone and, you know, just seeing the news and whatnot, social media and whatnot. And, you know, the first thing I saw was the senseless death and murder of Irina Zarutska. I hope I'm saying that right. This precious girl. I mean, she looks like she could be my daughter. You know, she's so young and innocent and just died senselessly, and we know because the perpetrator said it out of his own mouth that it was totally based on race, and he said it. He said as much. It's senseless. Then also the same week, I think it was a day or two later, that a young boy walks into a high school and shoots it up, and there are two people in critical condition right now that we don't know if they're going to make it, and I'm sure there are other injuries as well. And he was radicalized online. We don't know that much about him yet. I'm sure there'll be more we find out. But again, completely senseless violence and potentially murder as well. And of course, we all are very aware that Charlie Kirk, a very outspoken conservative Christian, who really captured a generation in many ways, at least the conservative side of a generation, was murdered for his beliefs and for his words, which is just mind-blowing. I mean, just for pure ideology. And it's shocking. It is completely shocking. If you're like me, I've gone from shock to hurt to anger and back to shock and to hurt and anger. Is anyone else know what I'm talking about? Like, I just, it's like I'm, it's just easy to just cycle through that, is it? You know? So it's crazy what's happening in our world today. It really is. But I want to remind you of something. It says in John chapter 10 that the thief came to steal and to kill. The Bible's real clear about this. So if you want to know the what's behind all this, that's easy. It's the devil. It's evil. It's demons. I'm literally, it's demons. And so this, it says in Scripture, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, but I came that they may have life abundantly. And so that's the good news. Praise God, right? I want to take a couple moments, and it may sound like a rant. That's not my goal. My goal is to tell you truth on how to respond to hate. And then we're going to shift gears after that, okay? But first thing I want to share a couple of scriptures. First thing I want to tell you is that Jesus warns against the spirit of hatred and murder. He warns against this over and over again. In Matthew chapter 5, he says it two different ways. Matthew 5:43, Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. He's like, if you really want to act like a child of God, in the face of hate, you show love. So it's very, very clear about that. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, this is the Message translation. says, "You're familiar with the command, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who so much as is angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder." I mean, he ups the ante here. He's like, if you're even angry, it's the spirit of murder. It says, "Carelessly call a brother an idiot, you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is that words kill." Wow. Do me a favor and pull out your phones real quick. You may want to get a picture of what I'm going to put up next. By the way, there are technically two Democrats and two Republicans in that picture, and I'll let you decide what the last one is. Sad, isn't it? All because of words. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Matthew 5, Jesus said, "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God." You know, Jesus warns against the spirit of hatred and murder. But then I want to show you another step that we are forgetting about too, because I was shocked this week, not only about the senseless murders, but I was shocked at how many people were happy about one of them. That's shocking to me. And I say that because if you picked out a prominent figure from the opposite side of the aisle and they were killed, I don't think we'd be happy about that either. Like, we shouldn't be happy about anyone being senselessly murdered. I don't care who it is. Scripture says in Proverbs 24, "Don't be happy when your enemy is defeated. Don't be glad when he is overwhelmed. The Lord will know this and be displeased." And then here's how Jesus dealt with this directly. Because here's the crazy part is, I bet you almost everyone who committed these heinous crimes actually probably thought they were doing good. As crazy as that sounds. And so look at how Jesus handled this. Jesus was going into a city, a certain town, to minister, and he was rejected by the town. And apparently it was very, I don't know if it was violent, but it was very obvious. Like, it was like, "We don't want you here, get out," kind of thing, right? So his followers were very upset, and this is what they said. "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" Look what it says. Jesus turned and rebuked them. He's like, what? No. Like, immediately Jesus rebuked them. And then here, let me give you right now a playbook on how to deal with hate. This is very important because this is a big problem in our culture right now. And then it says, and then they went to another village. What does that mean? Jesus said, move along. You find something online that really angers you, gets you so fired up, you're like, we should just burn down their village. Jesus says, nope, move along. He didn't even give commentary on whether they were right or wrong. That's not the point. The point is, move along. Don't park in hate. Because when you park in hate, you do things and you say things that you will regret if you park in hate. And number two, Jesus condemns rejoicing in another person's downfall. He just is against that. Guys, can I tell you something? Secondhand smoke is still smoke. Secondhand hate is still murder. So if you're happy that someone was murdered, you might as well pull the trigger. That's what Jesus says. So I just want to challenge you. If you're hanging out with people who are happy about this, you may want to change friends. I'm just being honest with you. You may want to really think about that. Or at the very least, confront your friend or your family member and say, what are you thinking? Are you kidding me right now? How would you be happy about this? This is crazy. So I just want to challenge you to challenge them. And then also, let's just look at the larger concept, the larger picture of this too, and just ask the question, is there anyone in your life that you would secretly be happy if things went bad for them? And if there is, then there's hate in your heart. And I know that can be hard to hear, that you're like, oh, I mean, you may be thinking about your ex right now. But that's hate in your heart. I mean, would it really be good for your children if their father or mother, something went bad for them? Would that really be helpful? Probably not. Even if you don't have kids with them, is that really good? See, we have a hard time hearing this, but even people we completely disagree with and can't stand, they're also children of God. So we have to treat everyone as Jesus did. And he said, love your enemies. Pray for them. Bless them. And so if you'll do that, that is what it is to truly be a child of God. So he condemns rejoicing in another person's downfall. And guys, here's where I really want to shift this whole conversation. We live in a world that's polarizing more than ever before. I was talking to all three of my children this week about this. And one of the things that became very obvious to me in the conversations is that this next wave of Christianity, this next wave of our faith, is not going to look like the wave of faith I grew up in. And so what I'm trying to say is that this next rising faith, first of all, it's exciting. God's moving powerfully in young people right now, and that's very exciting, and I love that. So let's acknowledge the goodness of God. But they're not playing around. There's no, like, let's try to be nice and let's try to make sure we don't offend anyone. They're like, forget that. It's too polarizing now. It's like, you're either with Jesus or you're not, period. That's where they're at, and that's a good place to be. Can I just mention something else? I just have to say this as a father. Where were the fathers in all three of these situations? I mean, I can go back to multiple of these heinous, sick, senseless murdering sprees. You go all the way back to the Columbine. You know, you always hear these dads later, and they're like, we had no idea. How did you not know? Did you ever walk in your son's room to see bomb materials? Did you ever ask the question, why is my son, who is in a gay relationship, also going to the firing range to learn how to shoot long distance? Why would he need to do that? Like, dad, get involved. Know what's going on in your kid's life. And let me tell you, my wife will tell you this. She will tell you this. Good parenting is sneaky. You need to sneak around and find out what's going on with your kids, because you just may save their life. So this is just, it's ridiculous that we're not doing this, but listen, and the whole thing, well, you know, I want to respect my kids' privacy. I don't respect their privacy at all. They're my kid. I'm going to know what's going on. Give me a break. This is ridiculous. Well, my son or daughter doesn't like me going in the room. They don't want me on their social media. I don't care. I'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, that's your room? Do you pay the mortgage? I don't think so. That's my room. I'm going to come in that room, and I'm going to know what's going on in that room. Well, you know, it's their phone. No, it's not. I pay for that phone. Give me your phone. Give me my phone so I can see what you're doing on my phone that I pay for. Guys, we need to get involved in our kids' lives again. This is ridiculous. And I want to really challenge the men here. Don't make your wife do your job. Get your butt up from the TV and walk in their room and say, what are you doing? Get involved. We can stop a generation from going in the wrong direction, but we have to get involved. So I just want to challenge you to do this. And yes, kids make mistakes. We all make mistakes too. We all do. But I thank God I had a father who was involved, who asked the hard questions, who wasn't afraid to not be liked. He didn't care about being liked. Your job is not to be popular with your kids. Your job is to lead them. And by the way, when it comes to emotional stuff, if you need them, you can't lead them. You can't need their acceptance, or you won't be able to lead them. And so I just want to challenge you with this, to get involved, get in their face, know what they're listening to, what they're watching, what they're doing, and if you don't like it, remove it. Let them be mad at you, that's fine. I'd rather them be a little mad at you than fester in anger and create the kind of problems we have today. And so I just want to challenge you guys, we have to get involved. Look at what the scripture says on this. It says in Joshua 24, this is Joshua. This is the full statement of what he says. We always cut right to the part we remember, which is the as for me and my house. But look what he actually says. Let's break it down. He says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, isn't it interesting he says that? Because isn't to that today, there are people today that believe because we are Christians, we're evil. The people believe that if you believe what the Bible says about sexuality, then you're evil. There's people that actually believe that now. Isn't that funny? That even back then, thousands of years ago, same thing was going on. He says, even if you don't agree, you may think I'm evil. That's fine. He says this. He says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's like, you got to draw a line. You either serve the Lord or you don't. And I want to challenge you. We are in a serve the Lord or not moment. You have to make a decision. By the way, the name Joshua is actually Jeshua, which is also the name Jesus. Did you know that? So the story of Joshua, just like all other Old Testament stories, are actually a foreshadowing of Jesus. Did you know that we do baptism because of what? Because Joshua, by the way, the name Joshua means the Lord saves. has the people cross the Jordan River. Baptism is getting into the Jordan River waters. It's you're being converted from your old life to a new life. Did you know that? All this is based upon the Bible. All of it's there. And so just wanted to point that stuff out. But I wanted to also talk about who were the God of the, it says you're either going to serve the Lord or you're going to serve the God beyond this river. So what gods were beyond this river? So I looked it up. Here's the gods beyond the river. There were three of them. It was Baal, Asherah, and Molech. Baal, by the way, the Baal god was a god about power and fame. Did you know that? Think about that. And what do we now want? What do all young people want? I want followers. I want to be famous. I want to be an influencer. That's all they talk about now is being an influencer. Even in the church, people talk about, I want to be a Christian influencer. Show me that in the Bible. Where does it say Christian influencer? It doesn't. It says you have gifts to use in the body of Christ. But a gift is it's not a gift to be attractive on a screen. That is not a gift. That is not in the Bible anywhere. So I just want to challenge you to really get back to what the Word of God says. But let's talk about this. There are three things. The Baal God is a God of sex, money, power, and fame. Think about that. I'm pretty sure those are all still popular today. And so now we all, you know, have our own little Instagram or Facebook or, you know, TikTok. And it's like our own little reality show where we want to see how many followers we can get. And so it's all about trying to look famous. Baal had another god that was attached to him named Asherah. This is basically the female to the male Baal. And guess what? If you went in the way you worship Baal or Asherah was that if you went to their places of worship, they had temple prostitutes, you could hire them. And basically you would just do anything under the sun you wanted to do. And they said they worshiped the images of Baal and Asherah. What does that mean? They drew pictures of all the different sexual positions you could possibly imagine so they could do all of those things and worship to their gods. You can imagine this was a popular religion, right? And so think about that today. That's pornography today. That's all that is. So really nothing's changed. He's like, you can either worship porn, you can have a pornographic lifestyle, you can be all about fame and power, or you can worship the Lord. You're going to have to make a choice because that's pretty much what both of those mean. It's an anything goes, no limits attitude towards sexuality, and that was Asherah. That's what that meant. And then the third one, and it always leads to this, is Molech. Molech, this god, was a giant bull that was made of iron, and iron can be heated very hot. And they would make this cast iron bull. They would heat him up. And then people would bring their newborn children and they would lay them on a burning iron cask, basically burning iron, and it would literally kill the children. And they would play drums really, really loud to drown out the screams of the children dying. Say, Bill, I didn't want to hear about this. It's so horrible. But you know what the drums are today? Just change the language. Oh, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. If we say it loud enough, we'll believe it's not a child we're killing. See, God, we think we're so advanced, but we're really not. It's the same stuff. And you know what? I've also noticed something about our culture. You know, this whole death of children and just death in general, like it doesn't matter to me. Why, if you can kill a child in your womb, why can't you shoot someone you don't agree with? Why does life matter? I mean, it's a devaluation of life in general. And there's a generation that's been raised, by the way, that think children are simply an obstacle. They're just an inconvenience, rather than a gift that God gives us. We need to get back to sacrificing for our children, not sacrificing our children. Does that make sense? No beating drum is loud enough to drown out the truth. And this is why, you know, this is why I believe why Charlie Kirk died, because they didn't like his truth. He just told the truth. Whether you liked him or how he did it, that's up for debate. The point is that he simply was a truth teller, and it was very offensive, and so let's just take him out. So I just want to challenge you with a simple notion. There's no middle ground anymore. You're either a Christian and you believe the Word of God or you don't. You're either all in or you're not. You're either for righteousness or you're for unrighteousness. But we need this whole middle ground of like, oh, I'm a Christian on Sundays or Friday night's a little different. That needs to go away because you're doing no one any favors. Either get with Jesus or get out. It's real simple. We're wasting time. It's hurting you. It's hurting a generation. And so we have to make a decision on who we are going to be. And I just got to be honest with you guys. I'm tired of all the lying in our culture, so we're just going to come here and tell the truth. And if it's too much for you, I get it. There's plenty of churches of compromise. We're just not going to be that church. We're going to speak the truth here. And so let's make a decision today. You're going to have to make a decision. A decision, the word decide means to cut off all other options. Like, guys, if your faith isn't costing you something, I don't think you have much faith. If your faith isn't costing you relationships, you're probably not really living out your faith very well. If it's not costing you people that would follow you online, then you're not living out your faith very well. I'm just telling you that your faith is going to cost you. There's going to be people who don't like you because you've made a decision to go all in on your faith. I just want to challenge you. But actually, God said, if you're only lukewarm, if you're only halfway, then I don't like you. I'd rather him like me than you like me. Does that make sense? So let's make a decision today to be all in for Jesus and realize that we got to follow his book. Even if some things aren't popular, there's still the truth. It's still what's right. So let's stand for truth and stand for what is right. If you'll do this, guess what? God will bless you. But we are past this whole point of living halfway. Those days are over. So I just want to challenge you, go all in with Christ. It's him or nothing. That's how it is. In fact, I want to show you scripture. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, "More than that, I now regard all things as liabilities compared to the far greater value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Indeed, I regard them as dung." I was like, whoa, well, that's kind of strong. Dung. I was talking about this verse with someone. They're like, yeah, maybe I would change that word. I was like, no, that's not from my notes. That's from the Word of God. I'm not changing the Word of God. Paul says anything else is crap. That's what he says. That's his words. Anything that you think is of value is crap compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what he says. So I looked up the word crap for those of you who are confused. Just to make sure you understand what we're talking about here. I thought I could bring a pile out for you if you want. We could all investigate it, smell it, play with it. But it's pretty clear. It means crap. It means trash. It means rubbish. It means garbage. Another translation says dog dung. It can't be any clearer. Paul is like, just knowing Jesus is so great that all of the things I love are like rubbish, garbage, refuse compared to knowing Jesus. And then he says in Philippians 3:14, he says this, "I keep pursuing the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." He says, what's he saying? Jesus, knowing you and following you is the prize. I want to challenge you on this notion. Jesus is the prize. Let me say, I want to challenge you with this, because even in the church, this is infiltrated the church. I want to challenge you with this notion that could you be trying to use Jesus to get other prizes? Could you really be more about like, you know, Jesus, I'm going to follow you because, you know, I can do all things through Christ, you know, which means that I can do really good on my grades to get into school I want. That's not what that verse means. Oh, I can do all things through Christ, and so I can make a lot of money. It's not what that verse means. I can do all things through Christ is designed so I can do everything God wants me to do. Yeah. In other words, like, quit trying to use God to do your will and start letting God use you to do his will. He's the prize. It's not about getting God to do what you want. It's about you doing what God wants. He's the prize. Knowing him and serving him is the prize. And anything you put in place of that, you've made that your God, and at least admit it. At least tell the truth if you're in a relationship that doesn't honor Jesus, that you put that relationship, that person over Jesus. Just admit it, at least to yourself. Just tell the truth. If you're living in compromise, that these images that you're hooked on are more important than Jesus. Just tell the truth that my convenience is more important than the Word of God. Let's get honest in the house of God. Either put Jesus as Lord or move on. But please quit playing halfway. Let's either get serious about our faith or let's not have faith at all. But you're not doing anyone, including yourself, any advantage by not putting Jesus as the prize. So here's my challenge today. I want to ask everyone to stand to their feet. I want to ask you right now to make a decision with me, to decide we're going to be real, authentic, true followers of Jesus Christ, and it's going to cost us, and we don't care any longer. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to put him first. We're going to let it be inconvenient. You know, when you tithe, it's going to hurt. Why? Because 10% of your income is still 10% of your income, and that's going to cost you. If we're going to serve the Lord and have a life of prayer and a life devoted to his word, that means you're a little less online and a little more in his word. It's going to cost you some time. If you're going to put God first, there's going to be some relationships that people don't want to hang out with you because you just seem a little too weird for them now because you're actually a Christian. You're actually serious about your faith. But guys, when are we going to get serious about God? What does it take? How many more people have to die before we get serious about this? Let's not forget that our faith began with a murder. It began with a murder, with a man who claimed to be God and let himself die for his belief in you. And then, because he died, he rose again. And he changed history. And that's the truth. And I will not bend and I will not break and I will not compromise that truth. And neither will you any longer. Let's stand for truth. Let's be who God's called us to be. Let's tell our kids the truth. Even if their friends don't think we're with it or cool, who cares? That's a trend. This is eternal. It lasts forever. Amen. Let's stick to the truth of God's word. Would you bow your head to me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you make a decision today to say, Jesus, I'm putting you first. No longer am I compromising. They're not worth it. It's not worth it. Your life is too valuable for you to waste time in the wrong relationships with the wrong friends doing the wrong things. It's only hurting you. It's time to get serious about your faith. If it doesn't cost you, it's not real faith. You may say, Pastor, you don't understand, the price is too high. Is it? Say that to a blood-stained cross. Your price is not too high. I want to challenge you today to devote yourself to Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you given your life to Christ? God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. He was murdered. He died and he had committed no crimes. Can you imagine that? He was falsely accused. He committed no crimes. But he chose to allow himself to go through that pain and anguish and to give his life on the cross so that he could rise again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to encourage you today to give your life to Jesus. You can pray a simple prayer. You can receive him right now. Pray this prayer across all of our campuses. We're going to lead you in this prayer together. You can just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin, and I believe you rose again. I'm going to follow you from this day forward because you died for me. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, if you just prayed that prayer, would you hold your hand high right now? If you just gave your life to Christ, no one's looking around, just hold your hand high right now. There's hands going up all across our church. Praise God. All of our campuses, we see your hands. Thank you, Rodfield. Thank you, Stone Oak. Hold those hands high. Praise God. Thank you, Portland. Praise God. God's moving right now in Rockport, Texas. Praise God. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold those hands high. In our prison ministry, there's hands going up everywhere. We praise God for you. Those watching online, you can let us know if your hand's raised. Just click hand raised, or just in the text right now, say, my hand's raised. We know that what that means, you gave your life to Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you just gave your life to Jesus. We thank God for you. I want to talk to those who are struggling right now, struggling with something I said. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to challenge you. I really want to challenge you. What I said may have political implications, but it is not political. I want you to hear my heart. I want you to hear my heart. If you're upset with something I said, I want to challenge you. Could you be looking to a political commentator or media source as your pastor and as your religion more than Jesus? I want to challenge you. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. We are followers of Jesus first. Everything else is crap compared to him. Put him first. Thank you, Jesus, for your word and your truth today. We commit fully to you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Thank you. You may be seated.